south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander...
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Hey, did you see that Michael Jackson tell-all that came, I think, from BBC in England? Which gives it a lot of weight. It just wasn't some National Enquirer stuff. Well, you know, I saw that thing. It's on YouTube. And you know what's cool about YouTube? You can rev up the speed. You know, normally when I watch anything on YouTube, I rev it up to about 1.5 times speed. That way you can get the info fast. You don't have to wait for the pauses and the ifs, ands, buts, and ors. Hey, I say that now, but that's probably how you're listening to me. Abbreviated blatherings at high speed. I get it. So anyway, I watched that Michael Jackson thing like we didn't know that already. I mean, look, you might remember some years ago, he paid off some kid's dad, I think it was the dentist, $10 million or some really high undisclosed sum in that area to drop another pedophile case. So was it a big surprise? Not for me. After all, I went to Catholic school as a kid. Though nothing ever went down at my school, and I never even heard any rumors. But as for my younger brother, who went to the same school some 10 years later, reports that his friends who went to the same school went on a retreat, and one of the priests did do some things with him. I think I told that story in a past show. Anyway, so what's all that got to do with living in Latin America? Well, I'll tell you, when I saw that Michael Jackson thing on YouTube, the first thing I thought was, man, soon enough there are going to be 5,000 Latinos out of work. But not right away. Lag time will kick in probably 3 to 5 years when finally Latin Americans get that Michael Jackson thing translated on YouTube in Spanish. Because, you know, I'd say there are at least 500 Michael Jackson impersonators making a living down here in Latin America. Of course, they're not working for talent agencies, they're all off the books, but still, it's a living. What I'm saying is that in every tourist town in Latin America, and every medium to large city that has one of those pedestrian-only boulevards, you're going to see street performers, all kinds of them, and you're always going to find a Michael Jackson impersonator. Of course, you've got the usual acrobats, dancers, jugglers, and of course, the big thing these days is people painting themselves up in silver and gold or army green and posing as statues. You see that everywhere these days, all over the world. And all those places have their Michael Jackson, too. But you know, what's always puzzled me is the fact that in all the years I've been here in Latin America and all the Michael Jackson impersonators I've seen and all kinds of other street performers, I've never seen a Latin Elvis. I suppose it's because here in Latin America, unlike up in the States, Europe, and especially in Japan, the population is not old. They're very young, and most people don't even know who Elvis is. Although, funny enough, all those years I lived up in the States before I left for Latin America, I never met a single person named Elvis, and I've met quite a few of them here in Latin America. So, obviously, their parents, being from Elvis's generation, figured that would be a good name to hang on their kid. Strangely enough, and I don't know how to explain this, but I've met lots of Elvises who are cab drivers, and none of them, and I've asked them all about their namesake, even give a damn about Elvis or like any of his music. But then again, Elvis was before my time, too. I didn't like much of his music. Though, you really got to admire him as the guy who kind of started all the rock and roll thing. And like John Lennon said, before Elvis, there was no one. But, you know, just the other day when I saw that Michael Jackson tell-all, I felt kind of sorry for the Michael Jacksons down here who are making a living at it. Especially this guy I see all the time. In fact, I just saw him yesterday. And, of course, me, being the inquisitive guy that I am, asked him if he'd heard about the Michael Jackson tell-all. And it's not in Spanish, so I didn't expect that he'd ever see it, but he'd never heard of it. And you'd think a guy like that, whose whole livelihood depends on that little twerp's image, would at least know what's happening. But he doesn't. This is Latin America. And in his case, and all the impersonators like him, lag time is definitely a good thing. Talk about a dead-end job with no upward mobility. Where do you go from there? Sword swallower? Fire breather, maybe? Juggling flaming machetes? Wow, speaking of juggling flaming machetes, man, those are my favorite way out there on the edge street performers. Those guys are amazing, and do they suffer for it? You should see the scars and bruises they have on their arms. Even me, a kind of a hard sell when it comes to giving money to people on the street. I do sometimes duke those flaming machete jugglers because, well, it's more than a skill. It's kind of a weird art form, especially the guys who do it at night. Man. In fact, I remember a couple years back on the beach in Honduras, about 10 o'clock at night outside of a beachfront disco, All of a sudden, this 20-something Latina walked out, dressed sort of like Barbara Eden in I Dream of Jeannie. You know, the puffy pants, the Arabian Nights look and all that. First, she started with the flaming hula hoop, and then she switched to juggling flaming machetes, and I thought, holy crap. Man, it was mesmerizing. Did she make some dough that night? But you know, Roatan, Honduras is pretty much on the gringo tourist trail in a low-key way, so people weren't throwing her nickels and dimes, they were tossing her fives and tens. Why work the cheap tippers in the Latino crowd when there are gringos around, huh? So anyway, in thinking about how certain Latinos impersonate iconic characters to make a little dough, or eke out a living, because that's all they basically can do, I have to say the oddest celebrity impersonator I ever saw here in Latin America was when I was in Caracas, Venezuela, some years back, and I took the teleférico, that's the cable car, up the side of a mountain and onto an area where there's a park and lots of things to do, entertainers, food, restaurants, people out with their families, walking around, having fun. And who did I see walking down the street, grabbing photo ops for a buck apiece? Good old Fidel Castro himself. Well, let's just say a reasonable facsimile thereof. All dressed up, khaki green, military revolution style, perfect scruffy beard, and a nice big cigar. Photos, a buck apiece. Man, was that guy doing business. Of course, we're talking about Venezuela in the Chavez days. So he, along with that sociopath Che, were the local heroes. It was such a weird experience seeing how much everyone loved that guy. I had to take a picture. Then he held out his hand and said, un dólar. And I said, un dólar americano? Cerdo capitalista. I called him a capitalist pig and he laughed. He played along. I mean, that was his gig. And I said, hey, where's your homicidal buddy Che? He said, oh, he's off fighting a revolution somewhere. Anyway, looking back on it, I can't help to think, even to this day, that he had a pretty good gig going. It's amazing. I never saw another Fidel impersonator in Latin America. Not anywhere. And this guy was clean enough. I don't get it. It would be the easiest makeup and costume job in the world. I mean, look, there's always a Fidel or a Che at a Halloween costume party, but never have I seen anyone put it to good use on the street like this guy. Yeah, I know. I'm supposed to be spotting business ideas for gringos and expats, not locals, right? But really, I think anywhere you've got tourists, especially gringo tourists, or a pedestrian boulevard, and they've got them in every medium and large Latin city, a Castro impersonator is a natural. Oh, and get this. One time I was talking to a retired cop from Boston who was living in Latin America, married to a Latina. And you wonder, how'd that happen? How'd he find Latin America? Well, because he was a jarhead before he became a cop. He was stationed in Colombia. You know, the U.S. has four bases in Colombia. Reason 476, why I'll never live in Colombia. And he told me firsthand that even back then, in his early 20s, he said, I'm going to retire in Latin America. So he got his 20 years in as a cop in Boston, and now he's living in Cartagena, Colombia, and he's got a beautiful Venezuelan wife and kid. As he puts it, he met her in Caracas 5 or 6 years ago and subsequently married her, saved her ass, and got the hell out. Then we got to talking about Caracas, the cable car, and that park. Wouldn't you know it, the subject of the Fidel impersonator came up. He'd never seen anything like that either. And the ex-cop, ex-jarhead said, I got a picture of that guy too. And I said, just as I said to you right now, I don't understand why no one else is doing it elsewhere in Latin America. And the guy from Boston said, no, man, I think it'd be too dangerous. People would walk up to him and punch him out, especially exiled Cubans or Cubans who'd escaped. I said, I don't know. I beg to differ. I've met lots of Cubans all over Latin America. And they've got this kind of love-hate thing going with the Castro brothers. In other words, it's like Americans who can be two-faced about that kind of thing, too. I mean, look, everyone knows the Bushes, the Clintons, Obamas, they're all crooks and liars, sociopaths. You don't get the top of that heap of mierda if you don't. But the truth is, if you saw one of those pus bags walking down the vegetable aisle at Costco, most Americans, even if they hate their guts, would want a photo or a selfie. It's a purely human foible and defect to be drawn to the famous and infamous. Look, they say even Charlie Manson got a marriage proposal or two every month. Are humans twisted or what? Oh, and here's something interesting. You know, there are lots of tourist trails in Latin America, and some of them are purely gringo or mostly gringo and European, and a lot of them are purely Latino tourist trail sites. In other words, there are all kinds of street performers, lots of stuff to do, restaurants and partying and hanging out in parks, etc., but barely a gringo to be seen, which is all right with me. But, you know, there's one other surefire telltale sign that you know you're on the Latin tourist trail and not the gringo trail, besides the fact that you don't see gringos, and that is you'll see street performers impersonating iconic figures, historical and otherwise, that you've never heard of. For example, you know, if you're walking down the Champs-Élysées or near the Eiffel Tower, you'll see Napoleon and Marie Antoinette impersonators. And of course, even the dumbest gringo traveler gets that reference. However, if you're in Tegucigalpa, Honduras, or San Salvador, Montevideo, Uruguay, or Buenos Aires, Argentina, where there aren't many gringos at all, if you happen to be walking down one of those pedestrian-only boulevards or at some kind of street celebration or fair in a park, whatever, you're going to see street performers, the usual suspects, devils, angels, Spider-Man, ETs, that is, aliens, the legal kind. On second thought, I take that back. A space alien, once landed, would technically be an illegal alien. But then again, who's going to try to deport him? Where were we? Oh yeah, street performers in Latin America. You've got the usual suspects, soldiers, Wonder Woman, Michael Jackson, etc. But you'll also see Latin historical figures that don't show up anywhere else in the world, like, for example, Simon Bolivar. Who knows who the hell he is? Or Jose Marti. Have you heard of these guys? Well, maybe. That is, if you recall those two sentences devoted to him in your sophomore history class. Certainly, few people realize that these guys were pretty much the George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, and Thomas Jefferson in the early days of Latin country independence. So believe me, when you see these street statue guys that you don't recognize, dressed in 17th and 18th century duds, you might feel kind of stupid because you'll have no idea who these guys are supposed to be. Of course, they'll have a sign around their neck or on the ground next to their collection box saying who they are. By the way, most Latinos don't know their own history either. Sound familiar? Point is, when you see these guys, you know you're on the tourist trail, but it's not the gringo tourist trail, it's the Latino tourist trail. Oh, and here's a funny story about celebrity impersonators. You know, many years ago in another life, I went to graduate school in the UK. Yeah, don't talk about that much. Got a MBA before they churned him out like Pez and made him useless. Pez. Remember Pez dispensers? But being that I'm a B-grade musician and a diehard Beatle fan, I had to make a pilgrimage to Abbey Road Studios in London. You know, that's where the Beatles did most of their major recordings. And if you remember the Abbey Road album, their very last one, you old-timers out there might remember that, it had the four Beatles walking single file through the crossway at Abbey Road. Very famous photo. And wouldn't you know it, when I got there, I saw a John and Yoko celebrity impersonator couple right there at Abbey Road. John Lennon with long hair, granny glasses, and white suit. Though as I got closer, I saw it was pretty dingy, you know, the street performers. And there was the occasional person who would take a photo with him barefoot crossing that famous crosswalk. That was in the late 80s, so Lennon had been dead some years. Nevertheless, this impersonator guy and his sidekick, Yoko, were making some dough. So I asked him how long he'd been doing it since Lennon died. I think it was 1980. He said, about a year, and it was a very good gig. And I said, hey, how come you're the only one out here? And he winked and said, there's just one John Lennon, mate. And then held up his fists. He gave me that British hooligan look, like he'd been in a few scrapes and kicked the bullocks out of his competition. So much for give peace a chance, huh? And even back then, he was asking gringo or first world prices. He wanted $5. Back then, they were using the pound. Or $5. Meanwhile, back in Caracas, that good old Fidel impersonator was only asking for $1. And since I was living in the UK for a while, after that, I actually made a trek up to Penny Lane and Strawberry Fields in Liverpool and John Lennon's house in the cavern, you know, the downtown club they played in every day at noon, right before they became famous. Though it was a letdown because by then it had been paved into a parking lot and there was just a plaque there. And back then in the mid to late 80s, the Beatles nostalgia thing hadn't really kicked in yet, so no one was giving organized tours. You had to kind of go find that stuff for yourself. Anyway, about a year later, one of my friends from Chicago came to visit, and he wanted to visit Abbey Road. So I took him there, and no John Lennon. And the cop, the Bobby that was stationed there, to prevent people from scratching their names and graffiti into the wall of Abbey Road Studios, he was nice enough, and I asked him, where's the John Lennon guy? He said, sorry, mate, no more John Lennon blokes. And I was kind of disappointed. I said, why not? That was cool, kind of added to the atmosphere, you know? He said, too many regulations. I said, what? Then he said, you need a license, a permit, and a health certificate to perform on the street. He said you'd have to fork out probably around £500 to get all the permits. Then he said all street performers must wear a laminated tag on their person And you know, Abbey Road Studios is in a big mansion in a high buck neighborhood. They will check on that stuff for sure. And all the while, as he said that, I was thinking, man, would that not ruin the Rebel John Lennon effect? Having to wear an authorized street performer tag around your neck? Imagine that. Sorry, I couldn't resist. Ow. So even back then, in the mid to late 80s, before the advent of security cameras all over London, the tentacles of Big Brother and government were reaching all the way down to the lowly street performers. Talk about karma. Instant karma. Meanwhile, back in Latin America, where people every day gather around those hundreds of Michael Jackson impersonators with their lone white gloves, moonwalking to the sounds of Billie Jean and Beat It on their tiny little boomboxes, even though they don't understand the English lyrics, you'd think there'd be some professional concern there, some dark clouds gathering. So will lag time eventually kill off those Michael Jackson impersonators? Will those hundreds of Jocko job opportunities just fade away? I'd say the jury's out on that one. Look at it this way. Here in Latin America, pedophilia hasn't put much of a dent in the Catholic Church. In fact, attendance is up. Enough said about that. All right, now for one of my very personal boots-on-the-ground stories. I've been traveling a lot through Latin America lately. I've been staying at a few misrepresented and overpriced Airbnbs, and that makes me a bit negative on the whole Airbnb experience, though it should be a very positive one because the idea is to save money over booking a hotel, and that's not the case anymore. Yep, Airbnbs are pushing their own prices up, and in many ways misrepresenting themselves in the photos. Though certainly not in all cases, but it is a crapshoot, and you don't know till you walk through the door. Anyway, some months back, I was staying at an apartment Airbnb in a residential tower. It was one of those places that was very misrepresented in the photos, but I'd paid for a month, so I had to stay there. Anyway, I was in the laundromat at the complex, and in walks this woman in a robe, towel on her head, white pancake makeup, obviously, in the early stages of getting made up to go out and face the world and do some laundry at the same time. Well, we said our hellos. We were the only ones there. We're in the same building. And I recognized she had a Venezuelan accent. So naturally, the small talk turned instantly to what's happening in Venezuela. Turns out this Venezuelan lady's a professional dancer slash model who's got a contract with a Puerto Rican media agency that gives her every other month off when she returns to Venezuela. She does product promotions and events, but mostly her jobs consist of dancing in reggaeton, Daddy Yankee, and Pitbull and other horrid videos. You know that vomitous Latin rap style music I absolutely hate? Of course, I didn't tell her that. That's no way to make friends or influence people. But I think maybe my face showed it when she mentioned that. Then I asked her about her contract. She said she's been working with this agency for years. They pay her $1,000 a month. And if she does special events like Hawaiian Tropic or Johnny Walker or booze promotion, she gets an extra $500. Now, for those months she's off, that's every other month, she also gets a grand. She's doing fine. She's at the top of her game in that business anyway. I'd say she's making maybe $25,000 a year. Big dough here in Latin America. Anyway, a day or two later, I saw her by the pool, all made up, ready to go out on a job. And man, let me tell you think the retired Asians have curves? You ain't seen nothing yet. This lady is the bombshell of all bombshells. In fact, you send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com, and you just won't believe it. You'll see why she's in huge demand to do these crappy, degenerate videos, but they do pay. She said, I use what God gave me, and man, was God generous to her. Now, here's the thing you won't believe, and I didn't believe it either. She's 39 years old, has a 20-year-old son, her mistake, she said, who's living in Venezuela, and she's supporting the kid, her mother, and her two sisters. Then, the next day, she's knocking on my door. She says, Johnny, will you go to the bank with me? I said, sure, thinking maybe she needed a guy along because she gets accosted all the time. She said, Johnny, will you do me a favor? I got a lot of 20s and 50s. Could you change them for $100 bills in the bank for me? She said, I've done it too many times myself at my own bank, and the tellers don't want to do it for me anymore. I said, why and what for? She said, I used to send them $500 a month through Western Union and other Remesa services, but they're not offering that anymore. There's only one bank that allows you to send remisas to Venezuela, and they take a huge chunk, and when it lands in the authorized Venezuelan bank, it's switched over to bolivars right away at a terrible rate. So you lose money on both ends. I said, okay, but why do you want $100 bills? She said, because I go back to Venezuela every other month and I hide $1,000 on me, and hundreds are the easiest way to do it. She said they'll pick out certain people at the airport for a shakedown, and the dogs can sniff out if you have even a small stack of money. So I helped her out, changed the money for her, and this is the part that gets me. She asked me to take her dancing that night. And I'm a gringo, you know, we have this problem with dancing. We know it. It's a kind of a sickness, but Latinas just love dancing and they cut us all kinds of slack. It's part of our gringo advantage. Anyway, we went out that night, and every time she went to the bathroom, Latin guys in that disco would walk up to me, give me the thumbs up and say, man, you did good. Because you see, they all recognize her. She's a recurring face and body on those pathetic Pitbull, Daddy Yankee, and Ragaton videos. And she claims no surgery, and you have to believe it. It's just the way some of these girls are put together. Sure, it's true. A lot of them go under the knife for a lot of different things. But don't just think when you see a very curvy Latina that there's been some enhancement. Look at Jennifer Lopez's butt, you know? It's a natural attribute you don't see much with people of European extraction, like most Caucasians up north. So don't always think surgery when you see Latinas with curves like that. And if you want to get down to cases, a lot of Latin men have pretty substantial butts too. Or so I've heard, because, you know, I'm not interested. Meanwhile, back at the disco, the waitress comes by offering a bucket full of different kinds of wines. She picks out a wine, not an expensive wine, but a bottle. And you know, I don't drink, but I'll nurse a glass of wine all night, and sometimes I won't even finish that. So anyway, by the time 3 o'clock in the morning rolls by, and this is a weekday now, she's put down 3 whole bottles of wine herself, minus my one glass. We grab a taxi. She's hungry. We go to an all-night burger joint. I don't eat that stuff either, but she ate too. Actually, when I look back, she was kind of a cheap date. So anyway, we're in a taxi, around 4 in the morning, heading back to our high-rise complex. We get to the front entrance. She's passed out cold in the taxi. It took me, the taxi driver, and the doorman to lift her out of the car. And when she was finally on her feet, she was just barely able to walk. And I brought her to her front door, and she didn't have her keys on her. I don't know if she lost them or forgot to take them or... Oh, and let me backtrack a bit. I'd say this girl's around 150 pounds. But how that 150 pounds is distributed, you have to see it to believe it. I'm telling you, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. I'm thinking, what next? No key to the door. So I walked her down the hall to my apartment. We went in. I walked her over to the bed, laid her down, covered her up, and I went to sleep in the other room. That's the kind of guy I am, you know, went to Catholic school all my life, and my mother wore the pants in the family. I could never take advantage of or disrespect a woman, or my master's degree in good old Catholic guilt would haunt me the rest of my life. Anyway, next morning she wakes up in her disco clothes and says, I have a shoot in a couple hours at 11 a.m. on the beach. I gotta go. She says she's doing a video shoot on the beach boardwalk in roller skates. I'm thinking, how is she gonna do that? But she did it, and a couple nights later she invited me over to her apartment and showed me what she'd been doing with her money. She sends it back to Venezuela, and over the last few years, she's bought 3 or 4 beautiful beachfront condominiums on Margarita Island, which is the sun and fun capital of Venezuela, where rich folks and pusbag politicians have condominiums, townhouses, and beach houses. And I said, well, why would you do that? Why invest in Venezuela? It's crumbling. It's falling apart at the seams. She said, you watch. When it comes back, the first place real estate's going to go through the moon is on Margarita Island, because that's where all wealthy Venezuelans go to vacation. Hey, I couldn't argue with her there. The place was absolutely beautiful. But the apartments that she was showing me in her videos were in good condition, but it seemed like no one was there. There was no one on the premises. They were abandoned. She said, yeah, all the rich people and politicians have U.S. visas, and they're all up in Colombia or up in Miami now, waiting it out. And when Maduro's gone, they'll all be back. So, about a week later, she went back to Venezuela. I never did see her in person again. But she's been keeping in touch with me practically every day, sending me updates and videos on what's really happening in Venezuela. Now, remember, in Venezuelan terms, she's got money. She's got a car down there. Yep, she sends me these videos on what's up. With her and her 20-year-old son in the car, he's driving and she's taking the videos. Last one she sent me was a drive-by of a cola, a line that was 7 blocks long. You'll never guess what the people were standing in line for, what they were waiting for. Well, maybe it would if you saw the video, because everyone had a cooler with them. They were waiting to get ice. Yes, ice. Why? Because you've probably heard that in the last couple of weeks, the power's been out up to 5 days in various cities throughout Venezuela. And you know, all the while I was thinking, 5 days without power. How would you last with 5 days without power? Are you ready for that up in Cleveland? Now, that's not to say things up in the States will ever get as bad as Venezuela. It's just to say, what would you do if you didn't have power for 5 days? So anyway, she sends me these videos all the time. I got one yesterday. Get this. Bunch of guys looting a supermarket. They break the glass. They go in. She's right outside with the telephone taking a video. And I'm thinking, man, this is dangerous. Why is she right there taking a video? Well, as it turns out, these people were not vicious criminals at all. They were taking the food, especially the fresh produce, bananas and stuff, taking it out in shopping carts to the main street and handing it to people driving and walking by. They were handing it out to fellow citizens they didn't even know. Why? Because with the power out, there was no refrigeration and things were starting to spoil. And that was no isolated incident. Then she sent me a video of various bulletin boards in supermarkets and universities showing the hotspots in town where you could charge up your cell phone. And without grid power, how are you going to do that unless you've got solar panels? Or like she showed in another video, guys in parking lots keeping their motors running using the electric off the alternator to charge people's phones. Yep, they're all using WhatsApp. It's their lifeline. Then, just a few days ago, I told her there were rumors in the first world media that it was the U.S. that hacked their power grid and knocked it out. Is there any truth to that? Then she put her kid on the phone. He's an engineering student. He said, that's total BS. All the power stations are running analog, separate. They're not hooked up by a computer. It's an old, old system. So no one can go in and individually hack these things online. It's impossible. Wow, we're coming up towards the end of the show. That was fast. All right, here's an update on my upcoming July 2019 Expat Insider Seminar. It'll be starting Saturday, July 6th and running through Thursday, July 11th. Now, in a way, that makes it easier for people who have to get some time off because you're going to get the 4th of July off and the 5th. That's Thursday and a Friday. So let's say you fly in on that free day Friday and the seminar starts on Saturday. So you have to arrive in Guatemala by Friday, July 5th. For more info and to get on my early bird discount list, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, you can schedule a one-on-one phone call with me. But first, download my free Plan B questionnaire at www.thenewexpat.com. Better yet, if you want to get your Plan B going from right up there in the States, just sign up for my 9-hour Expat Essentials course. Get the perfect Plan B blueprint by going to theexpatfiles.com/academy. Nos vemos!